Well, we're going to be looking at one of the most controversial passages in the New Testament today. This is talking about the relationship that Christians should have to government. And of course, this has been a topic through history which has not been an easy one. You know, that Christians, that some people say, well, Christians should always obey the government. Some people say that, you know, Christians should ignore the government and, you know, not pay taxes and all that sort of thing. And this is one of the key passages which where we deal in that kind of thing. I remember when I was a student, I started a university student, and I went to a Bible study, and we were looking at the book of Romans, and we started out at Romans chapter 12 and worked our way through. And of course, we got to this passage, and I remember having quite a fierce debate about this, you know, with these people I'd only just met, really. I didn't know very well. But that's the thing, isn't it? That, you know, this is one of those passages that causes a lot of debate. Now, one of the things which we really need to understand, if we're going to understand this passage, is that Romans chapter 13 is only a small part of the bigger picture that the Bible gives about authorities, rulers, governments, states, you know, all of that sort of thing. This is only a small part of the picture. So we need to bear that in mind as we go through. And actually, as we go, I'm going to make reference to some of those other parts of the Bible as well. So let's look at what Paul says and why it seems to be so controversial. He starts out by saying, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted." So Paul says that every ruler, in a sense, has been established by God. And whoever rebels against that authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Now, this is one of those things which is maybe controversial. And you might think about some of the, you know, like Hitler, for example. I mean, did God put Hitler there? But actually, you know, through the Bible, what we see is that God is sovereign over rulers and you know, the kings through history, through the Bible. So if I just quote you, for example, a couple of examples. One is the first one is Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, where Daniel is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, "The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people." So Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the lesson, to be humbled, to learn the lesson that God was sovereign over all kingdoms of the earth. And then Jesus says to Pilate in John chapter 19, verse 11, he says, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." That's what Jesus says to Pilate. "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Pilate, remember, being the one who handed Jesus over to be crucified. And Jesus said, "You'd have no power over me if it were not given to you from above," you know, from God. So we have Nebuchadnezzar, who was a proud king of Babylon, and we have Pilate, who crucified Christ. Both of them, it says, God put there. And Paul is saying that we should, you know, anyone who rebels against the authority that God put there is rebelling against God. Does that mean that we should obey even the likes of Nebuchadnezzar and Pilate? Well, let's carry on and let's see what more he has to say. So he goes on to talk about the purpose of rulers and authorities. You know, why has God given us rulers, given us authorities? So the first thing is in verse 3, he says, "Rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong." He says, "Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended." So the first purpose for the authorities is to commend what is right. It made me think a little bit actually of the late Queen Elizabeth, who would have, you know, garden parties and sort of honour people who were, you know, not sort of important people, but just people who contributed to their communities. You know, they would recognise and give awards and what have you to people who just played a part in their community and who gave out to others. And I think that's a good example of what it means to reward what is right. So that's the first purpose, to commend, to reward what is right. The second is in verse 4. It says, "For the one in authority is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." So that's the second purpose of the authorities, is to punish those who do what is wrong. Now, that's basically the maintenance of law and order, isn't it? You know, to say, well, we're going to have laws and we're going to have a police force and a judicial system and prisons and so on. And those who do what is wrong will be punished appropriately. And if you think back to what Paul was saying last week about not taking revenge, I think this is an important part of that, because how do we not take revenge? Well, if people will be punished appropriately through the legal system, then we don't need to take personal revenge. And actually, that's, you know, the state and the authorities are the appropriate way that God has given for punishment to be meted out in this life. And if you think about it, you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because you and I, as we were thinking about last week, we are not capable of paying someone back appropriately for, you know, when they've done wrong to us. And that's something that only God can do. But God has delegated that to the state, that people, rather than, you know, dealing with, you know, oh, someone's been wronged, well, let's go and smash them, you know. Actually, well, let's think about what is an appropriate punishment for that crime. Let's make some laws, let's make punishment, let's make things reasonable, and let's try and be calm about it rather than just flying off the handle. You know, so that's why the state, it's the state's role to punish the wrongdoer. That's the second role of the state. You know, it alone has the authority to bear the sword for punishment. Now, something which it's important to point out is Paul says three times in this passage that the state or the authorities are God's servants. He says that twice in verse 4, and he also says it in verse 6. They are God's servants. We'll come back to that in a moment. Just wanted to flag that up now. So Paul finishes off this section by talking about paying taxes. Paying taxes. Now, again, perhaps there were people in Rome who were advocating not paying tax, you know, saying, well, we're not going to pay our tax to the emperor. We're Christian, we're free. You know, we don't want to pay taxes to these ungodly people. Perhaps that's what they were saying. I don't know. But Paul says, this is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to give to governing. So give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Revenue, then revenue. Respect, then respect. Honour, then honour. So Paul says that there are this system of authority has been set up by God in the world, and that it is right for us to pay taxes, to give respect and honour where it is due to the authorities, because that's the way that God has made the world. That, you know, the way that this way of, you know, the government, you know, those in authority and then, you know, the rest of us kind of, you know, giving them respect and what have you. I mean, there's something right about that. Obviously, it can be abused. But if it works well, there is something right about that, you know, and about us actually knowing, you know, playing a part in society, in this kind of hierarchical society, even where, you know, there are authorities who do their job and there are those of us who who actually respect and honour them and pay taxes and so forth. So that is right. That's the way that God has managed it. But the question is, we come back to that question, should we always obey the state or the authorities? And I think this is probably the question that most of you will have, that the biggest question that most of you will have. Because maybe you're thinking, well, what about North Korea? What about if you're a Christian, for example, in North Korea, where if you're a Christian, then you're in danger of being sent to a labor camp or even being killed? But it is forbidden to be a Christian in that country and in other countries as well around the world. How do we, as Christians, relate to the government when they're like that? Does that mean we should just obey them? And I think that's not what Paul is saying. So let me just quote you from the book of Acts. I think this is the important principle when it comes to how we obey the authorities or not obey the authorities. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." We must obey God rather than human beings. That, I think, is the principle that at the end of the day, if there is a conflict between obeying the government or the state or the authorities and obeying God, we must obey God. God is our primary loyalty. The government is only secondary. So to give you an example of that from the Old Testament, if we think back to Daniel again, I think Daniel is a very good, a helpful kind of book to explain how we think about how we relate to government. Because, you know, Daniel and his friends, they did obey, but they also stood up against the government where it was necessary. And this is, let me just read you what Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego did when they were commanded, Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to bow down to the statue that he had made. This is what they said. This is Daniel chapter 3, 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." So Nebuchadnezzar commanded the people to worship this image that he'd set up. And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refused. They said, "We will not worship. Throw us into the blazing furnace if you will, but we will not bow down and worship this image." So they stood up against this idolatry which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now that's something which we have to understand. We have to put Romans chapter 13 together with other passages like that one, or like Revelation chapter 13. We don't have time to go into that just at the moment, but Revelation is one of those books which talks a lot about the state and how the state can become kind of idolatrous. And you can trust in the state rather than trusting in God. And how you can, you know, the state likes to sort of set itself up as a rival to God, which is what Nebuchadnezzar was doing effectively. And when that happens, we have to say, no, we are going to trust in God, not in the state or in the authorities, rulers, kings, whatever it might be. You know, we will trust in God alone. This is the case that, you know, through the world and through history, many states and many, you know, rulers and kings have become idolatrous and ended up persecuting Christians. I think that's why Christians are persecuted, you know, because they say, "We will not worship you. You know, we will be good citizens, but we will not worship you." And that is why I think so many times through history, Christians have been persecuted by governments, kings, states, and so on. Now, I'd love to go into this in more detail, but we don't really have time to go through a full explanation of, you know, about the government, the state, and so on. I'd just like to read you a little bit from a book by Francis Schaeffer called A Christian Manifesto. Now, this book is, I found, really helpful thinking through about, you know, obedience to the state. And there are actually two chapters in the book which are really helpful. One of them is The Limits of Civil Obedience. And the other one, the next one, is called The Use of Civil Disobedience. And he talks about history, about the, you know, how many Christians through history have had to grapple with this question, you know, and say, you know, does Romans 13 mean we should just obey no matter what? And they've come to the answer, no, sometimes the state has to be, you know, we have to stand up against it. We have to reject what it is asking of us because it is wrong. And let me just quote you a little bit of what he says here from the chapter about the limits of civil obedience. But I do commend the book to you if you'd like to find out more about, you know, the Christian's relationship to the state and how Christians through history have thought about it, particularly people like John Knox and Samuel Rutherford, he quotes from. So this is what he says. Has God set up an authority in the state that is autonomous from himself? Are we to obey the state no matter what? Are we? In this one area, is indeed man the measure of all things? And I would answer, not at all, not at all. When Jesus says in Matthew 22:21, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, it is not God and Caesar, as in sort of being on the same level. It was, is, and it always will be God at the top and Caesar underneath. The civil government, as all of life, stands under the law of God. In this fallen world, God has given us certain offices to protect us from the chaos which is the natural result of that fallenness. But when any office commands that which is contrary to the word of God, those who hold that office abrogate their authority and they are not to be obeyed. And that includes the state. And then he quotes Romans 13 verses 1 to 4. And then he says, and I'll finish with this one. God has ordained the state as a delegated authority. It is not autonomous. The state is to be an agent of justice, to restrain evil by punishing the wrongdoer and to protect the good in society. When it does the reverse, it has no proper authority. It is then a usurped authority, and as such it becomes lawless and is tyranny. That's what Schaeffer says, that when the state commands what is wrong, what is not in accordance with God's will, then it's lawless and it becomes tyranny and it must be resisted by Christians, and by anyone, but especially by Christians, you know. And this is the thing, I think, that if we are to take Romans 13 seriously, if we are to take the role of the state to promote good and to restrain evil seriously, then we need to take seriously the role that we have in resisting tyranny. You know, when the state promotes what is evil and restrains what is good, which does seem to be going on at the moment. So how can we put this together? You know, what difference does this make in terms of how we relate to the state as Christians? I think the first thing to say is that Christians should have an interest in the government. Now, if the state, the government, the authorities are God's servants, then they should be held to account as God's servants. You know, we should hold them to account and say, are you doing what is right? You know, are you governing in a way which is godly and which is right? And they should be held to account. Later on in the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So Paul says there that we should pray for kings and those in authority, so we may live quiet lives in godliness and holiness. So we should take an interest in what is happening in the government. I think sometimes, you know, there are a lot of people who just check out of politics, you know, who just don't have any interest in what's going on at all. And I don't think that's right, you know, according to the Bible, that we should have an interest, but especially in things which concern us as Christians. You know, are we free to worship? Are we free to live godly lives in holiness and quietness? And if not, then what can we do about it? Especially living in a democracy. So that's the first thing, take an interest. The second thing is, I think we as Christians, we should be exemplary citizens. Exemplary citizens. You know, we should be those who do what is good and not what is evil, which is what the government are there, the authorities are there to do, aren't they? They're to promote what is good, to restrain what is evil. Well, we should be those who seek to do what is good, you know, who seek the benefit of our communities, the benefit of our, you know, societies, and kind of look to the good of others. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. So we should be, in that sense, exemplary citizens. But the flip side of that is that it comes with a corresponding duty to resist tyranny, to resist the government when it is asking us to do things which are wrong, because we do not have a sort of unswerving loyalty to the sort of unconditional loyalty to the authorities. But actually, they are God's servants, and our loyalty first and foremost is to God. And I think this is where, perhaps in the Western world, things are, you know, this kind of gets more of a sharp edge, if you like, because our governments are becoming more and more secular in the Western world. They are becoming further and further away from Christian roots of Western civilization. And they are asking things. I mean, they are blessing things, promoting things which are not good, and they are restraining things which are good. Now, you think, for example, about abortion, an issue like abortion, you know, which Christians have always believed is wrong. But you think how the government is sort of in some way promoting it, and in other ways, those who want to protest, even people who have been, you know, just praying silently in their head outside an abortion centre, you know, are arrested by the authority, by the police. So that's the way that things are going. And I think we as Christians in the Western world need to have our head screwed on, you know, need to be alert and awake to what is happening in the world, and to realise that, you know, the government, we should be good citizens, but that means standing up to when the government are asking us to do something wrong. And I think we do need to think through a lot of the big issues, you know, things like climate change and transgender and marriage and equalities and, you know, public health and so on and so forth, all of these different areas, and think through, well, what does the Bible have to say? What would a Christian biblical kind of policy look like? And how can I help encourage the government to do what is right? How can I stand up if they're asking me to do something wrong? And so on and so forth. There aren't any easy answers, but these are questions that we need to be asking. I think that the biggest thing that we need to remember, and this is what I'll finish with, is that we can only resist rightly when we are standing firmly on the word. And that's been the case all the way through, well, all the way through Romans, all the way through the Bible, isn't it? You know, that we need to stand firmly on the word, knowing what God asks of us. And I'd just like to finish by quoting Romans 12, verse 2, which we looked at a few weeks ago. But this verse, I think, is just absolutely key for how we relate to and engage in the world. This is what Paul says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is what we need to be doing if we are to engage rightly with the world and with the government. So let's pray and ask for God's wisdom and his help in doing this. I appreciate that this is not, by any stretch of the imagination, an easy thing to do. I appreciate that this is not by any stretch of the imagination an easy thing to do. But nonetheless, I believe that this is what as Christians we are called to do, and we need to depend on God for his wisdom in how we do that in today's society and culture. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom as we think through how we should relate to the authorities. We know, Lord, that the authorities have been put there by you. But at the same time, we know that it does mean sometimes that we need to stand up against them. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us wisdom in knowing how to be good citizens in today's Western world, how to be those who obey when it is right, who commit ourselves to doing what is right, but at the same time, those who stand up when the government are asking us to do things which are wrong. So we pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, give us transformed minds, give us your help day by day as we seek to live in your ways in today's world. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.